Hello and welcome to another episode of Big Sad Fun, a sports podcast. My name is James Johnson and I'm here with my co-host,
Edward Dickey.
Edward, hello, how you doing?
Doing all right, man. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, man. It's been a couple weeks since we recorded.
Yeah, well, you know.
Once again.
Life gets busy.
Life gets busy. And we are, speaking of getting busy, things, ooh, man. Let's start off with the jokes right away, huh?
This is a family show.
It's August, man, and football season. Last night was the Hall of Fame game, and we are here.
So, the Hall of Fame game might be the second most useless game behind the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct.
I mean, it's cool, you know, you play it at the fun field, do all that stuff, but like, these are guys who've been together a week, maybe.
Right, right.
Like, they have not gelled at all. Each team is like 150 players.
Exactly.
I mean, it's...
None of the starters actually play. Trevor Lawrence didn't even play last night. I mean, like...
I wouldn't.
Yeah, why would you?
Like, your body's nowhere near...
Why would you even put yourself out there for an extra game? Because you do get this extra game, right?
Well, I think this counts as their week one of preseason.
Okay.
But, like, your body's not...
You're not there yet.
Yeah, you're not in...
You've only
Pro
been
Bowl,
in camp
or
for,
in,
like,
you're not in Pro
what,
Bowl. You're
week,
not in...
week or two, maybe?
I think they might start a little early.
Yeah.
But, like, it's... You're not there. Like, you're not, your body's not ready yet.
But as of right now, every team is in training camp right now.
Yes.
We got the Falcons out at Flowery Branch, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that they do training camp here in Georgia. Like, Dallas Cowboys, we fly out to Oxnard, California every single year.
Well, see, the difference is, like, we actually like where the team is. You know, we're not.
But it's so hot here. I mean, how do you even do that?
That's, you know, we're just built different.
Are there any days?
It used to be in, like, Furman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which, not much cooler.
No. No, there's no place anywhere near here that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 100 degrees outside every day.
I mean, you may be getting to, like, the mountains of North Carolina, where it's, like, 10 degrees cooler.
Right. Do you know the training camp schedule? Are there days where we could go out?
I think we can go any day.
Really? We should take a trip out there.
I'm 100% down.
Man, you know what? That'd be awesome. And then take a look. A couple years ago, I did that. In fact, the year that the Falcons went to the Super Bowl, I went out there. When
we got
to
go this year,
took
then.
My daughter out there. She was like 1 year old, and it was fun.
Even if you're not,
even if you're not a fan,
yeah, you're not a Falcons fan.
You're just
fan,
a football fan. It's
but
fun
it's,
to watch.
It's fun to watch professional athletes do professional athlete things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, that's,
and you can make a day of it. I mean, there's a whole thing out there, so it's really fun. Yeah. Have you ever been before?
I have not.
Yeah, so all right, let's take a look at how one day we can get out there. Let's go.
Heck yeah, that sounds awesome.
This do you is, know, so the Falcons...
This is social planning with James Edward on air.
We'll let you know how that goes, everybody. when does the preseason start for the Falcons, you know?
I actually don't.
Okay. It's got to be soon, though, right?
That, you know, knowing that we're going to talk about training camp, and I should have, like, looked this up. But, you know, I saw something about your Cowboys yesterday. I'm just scrolling through. No, this is good. I saw CeeDee Lamb just burning people.
Well, that's what he does.
But, like, do you...
We also lost the receiver already.
But do you think CeeDee Lamb is ready to step into that?
That's a great question. You know,
I feel like I always do a lot of talking.
That's great. I think I have some questions. I have some questions about Dallas's receiving core in general. Like, last year, we had three receivers that could have got 1,000 yards, you know, with Amari and CD and with Gallup. Now we've got Gallup coming back from an injury, CD stepping into the number one slot.
He's not
the best route runner in the world.
Do you think Gallup takes the number one role then?
I think Gallup is going to be the guy who, well, you know, coming back from that ACL is the question. But generally speaking, Gallup is pretty underrated as a receiver. I'm glad that we kept him.
I've always thought he was good.
Yeah, and I would rather have him than Amari.
Wow.
Just because he's cheaper, and I think
all things considered,
fits the team better. He's more of a Amari Cooper was a great route runner, but that's useless when you got Dak Prescott as your quarterback. So what you need is somebody who can just catch the ball wherever it might go.
You know,
and that's what Michael Gallup can do.
Take a look at the Commanders, and you will start to really love Dak Prescott.
Well, look, there's a part of me that would trade Dak Prescott for Carson Wentz right now.
You're wrong.
There's a part of me.
To direct quote from Pat McAfee, he broke both of his ankles on one play.
I watched a 45-minute interview with Matt Ryan on the Pat McAfee show the other day.
Yeah, I sent that to you. Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I think Matt Ryan's, he's in it. He's locked in. Mm-hmm. Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
I'm keep an eye on them. They're my underdog pick, if they're even an underdog.
I think the only issue they could have is they don't have a great receiving core, but they have just an amazing running back.
Yeah.
And, you know, Matt Ryan is such that, like,
if he can get some guys,
is so good that, like, I mean, if you better be right where you need to be in
exactly.
your route.
Exactly. If he can get some route runners, if he can get route runners, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because he can put the ball anywhere on the field. Matt Ryan is a great quarterback, and I think we're going to see that this year.
Well, I mean, you know.
We've seen it before, but, I mean, I really think he's going to explode this year.
I mean, it's kind of sickening as a Falcons fan because you just see all of Indianapolis media just raving over him, like, we know he's really good. We let him go.
Because we were flirting with Deshaun.
More on that later.
Hey, more on that later.
But what else? What are your predictions for the Cowboys this year?
So I think we win the division. I see like a 12-5, 11-6 kind of season, which is weird numbers to say because of the extra game they had last year.
It really.
After, you know, whatever, 20 years of the same season. But I can see us winning. We have a pretty easy schedule, which is to our favor.
Relative, like the NFL is.
It's hard to say you have an easy schedule.
Yeah.
Who knows what teams are going to be. But based on the winning records last year, win-loss records last year, Dallas has like the third easiest schedule.
Okay.
And, I mean, we're playing our division six times, so our division's not very good. Now, Philadelphia's going to be a lot better this year, and they'll be our main competition. But I still think our defense has made a huge leap forward. And if we can get
– y'all have so many former Falcons.
No, and we might be getting some more. Deion Jones. They're talking about trading for Deion Jones.
Yeah.
But also we were looking at the guy who took a picture of his grandmother up on draft day. What was his name?
Oh, you don't want him.
Yeah.
Tack McKinley.
Tack McKinley. We're looking at him right now. So we're basically filling out our defense with Dan Quinn draft picks.
Now, some of the guys, I mean, Keanu Neal, you'll have, right?
Yeah, we did. I think he's moved on.
Okay. He was a solid player.
Yeah. I remember when he was drafted, Keanu.
Yeah, me too.
He was good.
And I was like,
did he come in with the same draft as Deion, didn't he? Deion Jones? Was that the same?
I don't think so.
Maybe the year after that?
But I remember just thinking like, well, the only plays he's going to make are at minimum 5 yards away from the ball.
Right, right. And they moved him to linebacker when he played for us.
But and it was like, and we can't rush the passer, so this is a weird pick. But he was a great player.
We did add somebody, Anthony Barr. Yesterday, and we lost James Washington, at least for the first few games, and Michael Gallup will be out for the first few games. So our receiving core is what I'm worried about. We did sign the USFL MVP, who is a wide receiver and apparently very fast. So
y'all seem to be going the speed kills route.
Speed kills route, yeah. And from what I understand, Jerry is like, I like our team, and I like the way it's built right now, so we don't need to add Odell Beckham Jr. You know,
he's out there, isn't he?
Yeah, he is out there. And Julio was out there until just a couple weeks ago, until last week. And I was thinking Julio or Odell, like just a veteran presence, a guy that can go up and get the ball.
Yeah, and Odell would be good, you know.
Assuming that he can play. Now, he tore his ACL in the Super Bowl, so
that's going to be a bit of an uphill battle.
Yeah, it's uphill battle. He's on the other side of 30.
He's still a very good, like.
Just add some pieces, man. That's all I need.
Even a slowed down Odell is still better than most receivers.
I think so.
And I always thought Odell was a little overrated.
Yeah.
I think he made one really cool catch and everybody deemed him the greatest receiver of all time.
He made that 3-finger catch against Dallas on Brandon Carr in the corner of the end zone there, the front corner of the end zone. By the way, Dallas won that game. I just want to remind everybody that even though that's a spectacular catch, one of the best catches I've ever seen in my life.
But Dallas I think a lot of NFL receivers can make that catch.
I think so, too. And we've seen that since then, right? A lot of people trying to mimic that.
And it's a sick catch, and it's crazy happening in a game.
Yeah.
But he has put up production. I would say he's a top 10 receiver.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he's a top 5.
Definitely. I think because of his age, I think we saw him blossom again, you know, with the Rams. And he was on his way to winning the MVP of the Super Bowl last year until he tore his ACL. So I would like to add him. Let's just see what he can do. But he can't even play until about halfway through the season.
It's going to be a little while. So, just because it's going to be an expensive contract. It's like there's no point. And
so this is my biggest concern then for Dallas is this wide receiving crew just because I don't trust Dak. to throw the ball where it needs to go. And so you can't just throw out, you can't just put out good route runners like you could with Indianapolis, right? Or you could with most teams, like just have guys who can run routes, that'd be fine. But I don't know that Dak knows how to throw to routes.
But, I mean, CD.
CD's good, he's fast.
But he's just going to be.
He's not a great route runner.
But he's just going to be taking the top off.
Let's hope so.
Like,
we'll see.
You know. I mean, it's hard to...
I've been watching CD for a long time. He went to Oklahoma, so I saw him in a lot of Oklahoma games when Baker Mayfield was his quarterback, and he was great.
Yeah.
And you know, he's so good, in fact, that we drafted him, even though we didn't need him. We drafted him and then gave Amari Cooper $100 million. No, we gave Amari Cooper $100 million, then drafted CD Lamb, and now here we are. So... that's my question mark for Dallas is the wide receiving crew. I like to see what's going to happen here in training camp as things progress. Things have looked okay so far. We've brought in a lot of no name people to do. Dallas does this thing where they also invite local people from the Dallas Fort Worth area to come in and try out for the team. And we've had
the Falcons do I don't want to say a tryout, but they do a workout for anybody with like Georgia ties.
Really.
That's like cool. You played like in, if you like went to Georgia or like went to high school in Georgia,
yeah,
you can like try out or not try out, but like work out with the team.
Now we've only had, I think, one guy ever even make the roster from that process, but we have a guy here at the church, who goes to church here, who was on the Dallas Cowboys for a minute. And then he blew out his knee or something. And
we gotta get him on the show.
We should. That'd be fun.
Why am I just not hearing about this?
Yeah, I know, right? I just randomly, somebody told me that the other day. Training camp, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it works out. But
I will say that
I'm excited that football's in the air.
And now the other thing that starts here soon is a Hard Knocks.
I was about to ask you if you're going to watch Hard Knocks this year. Detroit Lions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care.
You don't care. I'm a football junkie. Yeah. I watch it when it's Dallas.
Hard Knocks is so well done.
Oh, yeah.
Like the camera angles and the guy with the epic voice talking. I was going to try it, but
and then Michael Gallup broke his knee.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he could literally read this universal dust cleaning gel thing that I read earlier, and you'd have been captivated by it.
Indeed.
But so I'm looking forward to that getting started. And I mean, you know, the Falcons are going to be what the Falcons are going to be.
Yeah. And I think that's what, 5 wins, 6 wins? And that's, you don't even want that many wins.
Well, I mean, I think Arthur Smith is going to mess around and win more games than because I think he's just a good coach.
He is.
The fact that he was like still in the playoff hunt late last year.
I know, right? Yeah.
When that was the worst roster.
He's a good coach, and I think Mariota's going to have a resurgence. I really do think he's going to have a good year.
And now if that happens, then we need to be looking playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Why not? Any team, any year, man. Any team, any year.
And it's the same question mark that the Falcons have had for offensive line and pass rush.
Yep.
It's been our issues for 10 years.
Check this out. Along that same conversation, I was watching a review. This is the kind of stuff I do, but I was watching a review of like the draft from the past 30 or 40 years. Mm-hmm. And other than Keyshawn Johnson, who was taken number one overall in 1996, I think it was, almost every player taken number one overall has been one of three positions for the last 30 years. And it has been either quarterback, tackle, or defensive end. Those three positions are the most, those are the three most important positions in all of football.
According to the draft, yeah.
According to the draft. Based on how people actually invest their resources, you need a guy who's going to throw the ball, you need a guy who's going to protect the guy who's throwing the ball, and you need a guy who's going to go get the guy who's throwing the ball.
Yeah.
That's it, right? That's the whole game. In a lot of ways, that's the small game within the game that I think that most of us really, really enjoy. I mean, we all love it when the quarterback gets sacked, unless it's our quarterback.
Yes.
Right?
Well, and sadly, I mean, the Falcons were last in sacks. We had like 18 doggone sacks.
You only had 18?
18 doggone sacks. I'm pretty sure that's right.
Oh, my gosh.
The next closest team,
Aaron Donald had more sacks than you guys did.
You're probably right.
I think he had like 20 last year.
TJ
Watt. TJ Watt had 22 sacks last year.
And it's like, you know, people are like, well, receivers are running wide open. It's like,
it doesn't matter. You can't throw the ball. You got 2 seconds to throw the ball.
Can somebody cover?
What you need is a play where immediately upon, first of all, you need like the super shotgun where you are back 8-10 yards.
Long snapper. Yeah, that's what you're talking about.
Then you need an immediate throw up into the air, regardless of where the receivers are at that time. And then you need a receiver who can just go get the ball. So you're basically like the, how we do on Frisbee Field, right?
Yes, yeah. The Hail Mary.
You need someone to throw in the hammer every single time.
I was saying, like, our Falcons defense, people will, like, point fingers at our secondary.
Yeah.
Like, how are these receivers so open? It's like, well, you can't cover for like, 30 seconds. Yeah. Like, I mean, the quarterback could...
That's exactly right.
...could go out and get a sandwich. Yeah. Like... I mean,
you get back there making a sandwich.
It's ridiculous. But yeah.
Oh man, that's great.
Now, I mean, but I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the elephant in the room when you're talking about training camp.
Oh no.
And this is I couldn't find a segue. Deshaun Watson.
Oh my gosh. Guess who's at training camp? Guess who is practicing with this team right now?
And
we talk right now.
I know it's a different situation, but Calvin Ridley.
Yeah.
It is not at training camp.
Well, you can't gamble on your team, man.
Yeah.
Expose yourself to women. You just can't gamble on football.
I mean,
crazy, right?
We don't need to get into the specifics of what all happened with Deshaun.
But let's go through the history, though, real quick. So Deshaun Watson is accused 24, 25, 26 different accounts of sexual misconduct. Two grand juries in Texas decide that there's not enough there to indict him. So no criminal charges, but 24, 25 different civil cases against Deshaun Watson.
And he settled most of those, right?
And he has settled all but one, apparently.
Okay.
And he has settled all but one out of court. So the league, the NFL, a couple years ago decides that they want to get rid of the image of Roger Goodell being the, you know, the judge, jury, and executioner.
Mm-hmm.
So they set up an independent court system, right, for the players.
A third party.
Third party, right?
Yeah.
And they hire this former federal judge to do the work of judging cases or whatever. Both the NFLPA and the NFL agree on this one person.
Mm-hmm.
She is a former federal judge.
With the caveat, though, of that both sides can't appeal.
Right, and this is where it gets fun because the NFL sets the whole thing up, and because they don't want to appear as though, number one, that Goodell has too much power, but they also want to make sure that things are fair, and mm-hmm. they don't want to get their hands dirty on things that they obviously have not gotten right in the past,
yeah.
like with Ezekiel Elliott or Ben Roethlisberger, whoever else, Ray Rice.
Yeah.
So the whole process goes to her. She looks through the thousands of pages of whatever, looks at all the evidence, does all of the work.
They presented four of the cases
right.
to her. It wasn't all 20 something.
And that's because why? Because they found four of them credible.
One of them got thrown out. We should preface this
by saying
you and I are not lawyers.
No. So we don't
some,
know.
Some of the facts here.
Yeah, there's a lot of. We're just talking about what we know.
Yes, but I.
So, but disclaimer: do not come here for true information or knowledge.
Don't come here for like legal expecting legal scholarly
yes.
work.
This is not legal advice, nor do we claim that we know anything about the law. That being said, this judge takes a look at the evidence that is presented and yes. the arguments presented on both sides. Deshaun's camp, represented by the NFLPA, just says they don't want any suspension. The NFL says. We want an indefinite suspension, at least for a year. Behind the scenes, it turns out, Deshaun Watson is offered by the NFL a 12-game suspension with about a $10 million fine. I just found out about this. So he's offered a settlement, 12-game suspension, $10 million fine.
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun says, no, I'll take my chances with the federal judge. The federal judge comes back, former federal judge comes back. I wish I knew her name. Sue something,
yeah.
All right, Judge Sue. Judge Sue comes back and says...
It's like Judge Judy.
Six-game suspension, which is based on not only the nonviolent nature of the stuff, but also on precedent.
Yeah, exactly. I think that was the bigger issue, yeah. was that this is kind of uncharted territory in that there isn't really a precedent for what to do.
There's not. But in the sense of, like, in the case of Ben Roethlisberger and Ezekiel Elliott, both of which were... not criminally charged, but were held accountable for some kind of sexual misconduct. Mm-hmm. They both got 6-game suspensions. Here we have a person who has not been criminally charged. So in the eyes of the law, as far as Texas is concerned anyway, yeah. he did nothing illegal. But that doesn't mean he didn't do anything wrong.
Yes.
And according to the personal conduct policy of the NFL, Deshaun Watson is then given 6-game suspension. The NFL has 3 days to appeal that.
And did you read any of not to cut you off.
No, let's go ahead.
But did you read any of her comments?
I read some of them.
I mean, obviously there are thousands of pages. No one's reading all of that. But like her saying like a lot of it's like it seems like she wanted to give him an indefinite suspension.
Yeah.
But she couldn't on precedent.
Yeah. And I think there's some value to that.
Yeah.
Because she did. She said this is like the most egregious things that I've ever seen, right?
And I mean the fact that
and he shows no remorse, like to this day.
That the other I thought the Brown saying they made a statement and in it somewhere was like he has shown remorse. Like, no, he hasn't.
No, and he doesn't think he's done anything wrong.
He has stated multiple times, I'm innocent.
Yeah, he doesn't think he's done anything wrong. Which, who knows? Like, I honestly, quite honestly, who knows?
I don't typically think 20...
That's a lot, right?
I don't think 26 women are making up a story.
You know, that's true, but I'll... You know, this is a sticky area, but like there were 66 different women who he saw over the course of 17 months, and only 24 come forward.
James,
I don't know how this works, but here's what we do know. The NFL did appeal the 6-game suspension, and now it's getting kicked back.
So one thing
just to finish the thought, and now just like the NFL did not want, it comes down to Roger Goodell, and he has to make a decision, or someone who he appoints.
He has appointed a former district attorney, but the thing that I thought was a little slimy on the players' union.
When they came out the night before.
Yeah, and saying, we have no intentions. It's like, yeah, because y'all know what it's going to be.
Figured out what it was.
Yeah, there was a leak, obviously. if it came out that he got the indefinite, then they would have been like, we intend to fight for our player.
Yeah. Of course. I don't think that's slight. I think that's good PR, man. That's exactly what they should have done.
But then being like, and we hope the NFL does the same thing. It's like, okay.
As they should.
Y'all know exactly what's going on here.
All right. So, but let's talk about this let's set aside the case for just a second, Sean case. Who knows how that's going to turn out, by the way. It's looking probably like it's going to be at least 12 games.
I'm thinking I don't think that they're appealing this just to give them a couple. I think it's going to be his full season.
It might be. It's going to be at least 12. And it looks like best case scenario and a huge fine.
Because he wasn't fined at all in the.
Yeah, which is weird.
Yeah.
Really weird.
Yeah.
Particularly because of the way that he structured his salary this year that he wouldn't lose. He was going to lose like $300,000 for those 6 games.
Yeah.
Which is insane. For a $230 million
contract.
I'll
take the
$300,000. Yeah, right.
Let me tell you what.
So let's set that aside for just a second and just talk about the way in which the NFL has set this up to work and then decided, nah, we're going to go ahead back and do what we want to do.
So I think...
Isn't that a bad look?
It is. I think, though, this is a good system.
Okay.
This is a better system. But I do think everything does kind of need a level of checks and balances.
Yeah.
Now I think that there needs to be more guidelines on the appeals process.
So
like, I think, cause I mean like you can appeal a court case, you know?
Sure. To an extent you can.
Yeah. And so I think we need the, to an extent. What extent?
So when you said earlier that Goodell has appointed a former district attorney.
Yeah. Someone whose name I was going to remember, but
it's fine. But tell me what's his connection to the NFL? Is this a guy who was on staff at the NFL or is this completely independent guy?
So all I saw was the announcement on my watch.
Okay. Did the NFLPA have to approve this?
Now that I don't know.
That'd be interesting to know.
And now I think both sides can kind of represent their case in like something of a kangaroo court.
Because it just seems like to me like this is
I don't want Goodell to be the only arbiter of
I don't think
that you can only trust I don't think like you can just have like a czar.
I think if you have somebody like the Judge Sue who was appointed by both the NFLPA and the NFL, so this is somebody they both.
And
they both said yes to. I think
in practice, I think that the Judge Sue is the
I think after that, there's no reason for an appeal. The only reason why that's there is so Goodell can say, no, I want my
way. I think the only reason for the appeal is this situation. where
it's
something.
Man, it's messy.
Yeah. And it's, I'm in 99% of the cases, I'm 100% with you.
Yeah.
And I know you said, let's not look at it under this case, but it's impossible not to.
No, I know.
Because it's, this is the only, but like, this is one of the only situations that really come to that. That has really come to this.
I am still of the opinion, and maybe I'm wrong here, and I'm totally willing to admit that I am. If somebody can prove me so, or convince me otherwise, so if you can tweet us.
Tagliabue would have done the handle this better.
No, I just think that if somebody is not criminally prosecuted for something that there needs to be a level of stepping away from taking away from their livelihood.
Well, that's a whole other thing.
I understand. We're talking about something. And the thing is, we just don't have information and facts. What we have is civil cases that have now been settled.
And you and I also haven't even read.
No.
We haven't read a lick of the evidence.
No, right. Exactly. Exactly. And the evidence, though I assume the evidence is going to be, and this is not how you do court, but I assume the evidence is going to be that you have her, their words against his word, and he's not like denied the things that they're accusing him of necessarily, just that they're not wrong. My point being that two grand juries said that Deshaun Watson did nothing illegal.
Yeah.
Now he's going to lose livelihood. He's going to lose money and games, and his job is being affected. His career is being affected.
Did you see the contract that he signed?
I didn't. I don't. Is there a morality clause in there?
No, but I'm just saying that's so much money.
But we can't. That's not fair. It's not fair because what he does for a living is valued at that price.
Yeah, no, I.
So just like what I do for a living is valued very much less.
$7 a month.
That's right. My $6.50 an hour, which is not even minimum wage.
Okay,
I don't know. But obviously something sketchy's gone down here, and he deserves some level of punishment. That being said, he's already set out a year basically.
But he sat out the year, his choice.
Well, not his choice. Houston's choice, mostly.
He wanted to trade, and he said, I'm not playing for you unless y'all trade.
I thought Houston had said that they weren't going to play him anyway.
I mean, that's whose side do you believe in?
Oh, yeah, right. So, again, Deshaun caught up in the he said, she said.
But that's, I'm sure the Texans are saying this, Deshaun's saying this. So there's, you know.
He clearly is.
It wasn't due to the allegations.
It clearly, something sketchy has happened.
Yes.
And Deshaun needs to be punished. The process here is.
You
want to
know
sticky.
What my main takeaway is?
What's that?
I am so glad he's not a Falcon.
Because that almost happened.
Oh, God.
Can you imagine? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about something else that's sad.
Yes.
Let's lift our spirits by talking about the Brittany Griner situation.
Now, in more of us not being legal experts,
yes.
Now let's change countries.
Now
let's
go to
a
different legal
system.
So Brittany Griner brings cartridges, apparently vape cartridges that have CBD in them.
I think it was cannabis.
Cannabis oil or some kind of thing like that. She has now been finally convicted and yesterday was sentenced to 9 years in a penal colony. Siberia, kind of like, see you later, Brittany. Behind the scenes, there have been prisoner transfer conversations happening, which will be escalated and accelerated.
And I think the problem is that it's not a friend, like, we're, like, in a pseudo-war with Russia.
This is the big issue, is that we are in a pseudo-war.
I mean... And I know that's a big word, but like.
But it's not untrue.
I mean,
we're actively sending weapons to a country that's
not,
at war.
We're not on great terms with Russia right now.
That's to say, things are not fuzzy.
And it's cozy. A tough situation because, I mean, I know we're looking at like giving them like a.
Like an arms dealer.
Yeah, which I'm all for, like, let's bring Brittany home. But
there's larger consequences. Here.
I mean, an arms dealer for. I mean, we're going to have to do a package deal here.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at this like, you know, in the term of sports.
I want a first round draft pick.
Yeah.
I want the next prisoner that you guys get from us to be sent to us for free.
Exactly.
Whoever it might be.
But I mean, it's one of the like, and obviously, you know, American government has to try and get every foreign prisoner.
Got to.
But it's like, you know. Kind of at what cost?
This is one of those places where you need something like the Mission Impossible team just to break in and get her, bring her home, you know?
I mean, we could send in SEAL Team Six.
That's a great question, though. Like, Edward, like, at what cost do you bring Brittany home?
And it's, I think the cost to the regular person varies. Yeah. And now there was somebody who said, like, you know, if this was Taylor Swift, she would have already been home.
No.
It's like, well,
I don't think that's true, but
it would have been a much bigger deal.
Whoever says that doesn't understand the relationship between the United States and Russia right now.
Yes.
Because they 100%. Have no motivation whatsoever. They're not even looking for
they have no reason to, like,
their image. Yeah, exactly. Their image is so tarnished right now on the global stage.
Yeah.
That they don't get anything by letting Britney go.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to help anybody, right?
No.
Stop shooting people in Ukraine. That's the only thing, right?
Once again, this is a sports show.
they play sports in the Ukraine, Edward.
Do they?
Well, maybe not right now.
They were like in the like the World Cup qualifier. Like, it's like, aren't you all busy?
shouldn't you guys be?
Like, what's going on here? But
all right. Anyway,
I mean, I don't know. It's
I don't know what's going to happen. It is sad, though.
It is sad, and I want her to be home, but I think I think smarter minds than us.
Are working on this.
But they have to kind of ask the at what cost.
Yeah.
And then you also have to put, you know, even if we offer that, who knows if they take it,
right.
You know?
Right.
And it's not a guarantee that we can get her.
What I do know is that this is the process, right? So she had to be convicted,
yes.
And she had to be sentenced before any serious negotiations could happen.
Yeah.
And so now that's happened. I think within the next week, we'll know something one way or another.
Yeah, and hopefully she doesn't have to serve out a term.
Oh, let's hope not.
Because that, and I mean, I don't know, it also puts in perspective a lot of things about this country. Like,
I mean, I
don't want anybody going to jail for a weed charge.
Yeah, and
but
man,
a nine-year sentence.
9 year sentence.
For like some vape cartridges.
That's insane. Like,
wow.
I guess sometimes it's good to be American.
Whew.
All right. Well, let's leave behind
this
the sad
a,
and
this
let's.
Has been a downer episode.
It really has. So let's talk about something fun. Our fun this week, and this is a personal note, Edward.
So
congratulations to you.
I can finally announce, and I could have announced it before, but I don't know. I was waiting for paperwork.
No, it was official. August 5th.
It was official a couple weeks ago. I have taken a job as a seventh grade football coach at Westminster.
Hey-o!
Go Wildcats.
Let's go Wildcats.
It should be fun. I did a...
Don't they sound like...
I'll be honest, I have never come across a Wildcat. But I guess it's something like that.
Have you ever seen the movie The Royal Tenenbaums?
Yeah.
Where he's like, Wildcat.
Yes.
With Charlie Rose or whatever.
It's been a minute since I've seen it, but you saying that brought everything back to me.
I love that movie.
That just like opened up an unlocked memory.
Everyone knows that Colonel Custer died at the Battle of Little Bighorn. What this book presupposes is maybe he didn't.
But yeah, so it's
anyway.
It should be fun. Tell me again what you're. I'll be doing the offensive and defensive line offensive and defensive line
for seventh
grade.
All right,
which you know. Should be a lot of fun.
So let me ask you, can I ask you some questions?
Yeah, yeah.
So
I'll answer the best of my ability.
Seventh grade, at what point do you begin to get kids who you know they're going to be football players, like in high school or college? Is seventh grade a place where you can start to see that develop?
Maybe. Like, there's a lot of growing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
I mean, that's
I don't mean like emotionally. I mean
like physically. Yeah.
Like, you know... Because somebody could be a stud in seventh grade because they hit puberty early.
Right.
Then, you know, there could be somebody else who
they
hits
plateau.
It.
Yeah.
He's like 5'10 in seventh grade, but he graduates at, you know, 5'10 and a half.
Right.
But, you know, there's also, you know, other people who will start growing.
Yeah.
Or like kind of developing a little later.
How much can you teach the kids at that point? Can you teach them technical like things that they're going to stick with them?
So, and we've kind of started this dialogue with the like varsity coaches. I like to think of myself as the elementary school teacher.
Yeah.
And like, you know,
laying
I can teach
foundational
that level.
Blocks.
Yes. And then they
A,
will
B,
go.
A, B, C, D, my friend. A, B, C, D. One
exactly.
plus one is two. But if you don't know that, you can't do
what? You know. My whole life is a lie.
If you can't do the ABCs and the 1-2-3s, then you can't do the calculus and the Shakespeare later on.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Well, and also, one point I made with him was I don't want to teach them cursive, you know, like waste time teaching something they're never going
to
need.
Right, right. So you're in dialogue with the varsity coaches, and like, what do you need them to know when they get to you?
Exactly. What do you want them to have covered years ago?
That's cool. That's really cool.
I've been coaching at the youth level, like at NYO, for like 9 years.
So you have a lot of experience.
Yes, which... this is actually a thing.
Yeah,
This isn't just a hobby.
And this is a kind of a entry level job that could potentially lead to you becoming the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys someday. I mean, potentially.
You know, maybe. I mean, you know, like a lot of college coaches were like, you know, rewind the clock 15 years ago, I was coaching girls basketball.
Yeah.
So you know,
maybe. All right.
Because you've mentioned before. What your dream is.
My dream since I was like 12 years old is to be the chaplain of the Dallas Cowboys.
Most kids at 12, their dream is to play for the Dallas Cowboys.
No, I never had that dream.
I just want
to pray over them and say a little prayer before I go out and into the field and then talk to
them. You should look into some like chaplain roles in high school.
They have that position. Anyway.
But, you know, I mean, you could work your way up from the high school level.
Do you think that's
got to be how it works, right?
Hey, guys, you got to check out this chaplain over at Westminster. All right. He's exactly who we need.
I wonder who the chaplain is of the Dallas Cowboys.
There is one.
Is it a mega preacher?
Oh, it's probably T.D. Jakes or something like that. Who knows?
That's a name that you know and I don't, and I'll just kind of smile and nod.
Okay, he's a big guy, like Creflo Dollar.
But in Texas?
Yeah, in Dallas, in the Dallas area.
That makes sense.
Yeah. It wouldn't shock me at all if that's who it is, actually.
You know who the Falcons should have as theirs is one of the pastors whose church we tore down to build our stadium. That's who we should give that role to, but I'm sure it's like Andy Stanley.
Yeah, no doubt. Or Charles Stanley, for that matter. Who knows?
I don't know the difference.
Charles is his father.
Oh.
A little bit more.
I just know the name.
Well, in any case, congratulations.
Hey,
man.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We'll be getting a lot of updates about how the season's going.
Yeah, please do. And have you guys started workouts and everything?
We did some like summer workouts that I went to.
Okay.
And then I went to varsity. They kind of had their preseason camp, and I went to just kind of learn a little bit.
Okay.
But then our practices start on Monday.
When are your games?
Saturday mornings.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe you gotta make it out to one.
I will. I want to see you in action.
Now they also broadcast them.
Okay.
On the internet.
All right. So maybe I can listen.
You could watch.
I can watch. Oh, you mean like they broadcast like on TV?
Well, on the
internet TV.
Yeah. Like you can log
YouTube
in and watch.
TV.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can log in and watch it.
Awesome. We'll make sure that we get that link out to our fans as well.
if that's a thing, yes.
If that's a thing, yeah.
Because it might be like through the internal server of Westminster, but we'll see.
All right, folks. Well, thank you so much for joining us here. Big Sad Fun. Mostly sad. Some big, but it's fun.
Next week will be more fun.
Let's hope so.
But, you know, look, ultimate cynicism is poison. Ultimate optimism is diabetes.
Yeah, there we go.
Man, I botched that saying. It's a good saying. I botched it.
I think we're going to let that be our final thought. Thanks for joining us, guys. We'll see you next week.
See ya.